It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome back to the next room. I have been talking about this lady for a couple weeks now, and I am so happy to be able to introduce you to a new relationship that I now have, and I just feel that it's probably going to grow from here. Her name is Melissa Lyons, and Melissa is an international best-selling author. She's an inspired thought leader, and she's a life coach. And I'll tell you what, she sent me her two beautiful books, and I sat in my favorite reading chair, which you've heard about many times, and I read through both of them. They're gorgeously illustrated, and I had tears rolling down my face, and I thought, oh goodness, this woman and I are going to hit it off like a house on fire. The books are called I Will Always Love You, which I absolutely love, and Until We Meet Again, which is From Grief to Hope After Losing a Pet. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to the lovely Melissa Lyons, and welcome to the next room, Melissa.
Hi, Jane. Thank you for having me. It's really an honor and a pleasure to get to talk to you.
Aw, I'm so happy to hear that. Well, Melissa, first I just want to say, if anybody wants to see what Melissa's all about and kind of go through her beautiful website, it's Melissa Lyons. It's Melissa-Lyons, and Lyons is Lyons.com. Melissa-Lyons.com. Okay, Melissa, so right when we started to have a conversation off microphone, we started talking about a really cool experience that you just had. And I think we should just dive right in. Jesse Brizendine introduced you and I. So Jesse interviewed me a little while back. He interviewed you. I've interviewed Jesse. So here we are full circle. He introduces me to great people, and I do the same for him. So tell me about the experience that you had with Jesse.
Well, yes, thanks to Jesse. We are talking. I'm very grateful for that. And my experience with Jesse, the whole time we talked, we had chills going on. Because I was telling him about the book, I Will Always Love You, and how I wrote it, which was a channeling experience, which we can talk about as well, because the words came through me, not from me, which I think is really important to recognize. So they're not, they weren't brought to the paper in the sense of trying to write a book. They just kind of came from the universe. And so when I was talking to Jesse about it, I told him that, well, first of all, the day that we ended up speaking was a very important day for him. And I told him that one of the pages in the book, because 80 or 90% of the book, as you read it, came through this channeling experience that I'd never had before. And one page didn't work, and it didn't work if someone died by suicide. And that was something that really stuck with me. Like, that bothered me, but I wanted it to work and help people who are going through all kinds of grief. And so when I had my first draft of the book come back from the printers, it was in that original state. And one night in the middle of the night, I sat up, and immediately I knew how the words had to change to work for that type of loss. And I wrote them down and updated the book. And the next morning, we found out that friends of ours had lost their son to suicide the night before.
Oh, man.
At the time that this happened to me, his life was lost, and then the words came like that in the middle of the night.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and so how this connects with Jesse is the day that when I told him this story, and so the words, let me read the words to you, because that's where it becomes really interesting.
Please do.
It was my time to go, and I can't explain why, but there was a reason. It was my turn to fly.
Mm.
And, yeah, which really are deep and so the day that Jesse and I talked was the actual anniversary of the death of his friend who died by suicide. And Jesse, he may have shared this with you, that he had an experience where his friend actually came to him after death and had a conversation with him. And in the conversation, these are the words that his friend told him.
Mm. Man. See, you know, talk about connecting the dots. You know, the veil is getting thinner. And I think that if we all just kind of maybe get a little bit quiet and tune in and allow those messages will come through. So let's talk about I Will Always Love You, because for the last couple of weeks, I'm like, oh, you know, Melissa's going to send me this grief book for children. So I'm thinking, oh, it's a children's book. And I get it. And it's a gorgeous, beautiful book. It looks like a children's book. It has a couple children and a butterfly on the front. And it's called I Will Always Love You. And I sit down and I start to read it. And I have tears rolling down my face. And it's so beautiful. And I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't a children's book. This is for everyone. I mean, it reads like a children's book, but it's poetry. And it's about what is next. And that's why I'm like, wow, we're kind of aligned with our belief system. So let's talk about that. Did you set out to write a grief book for children?
No, I actually didn't set out to write a book that rhymed. I didn't set out to write about anything in particular. I was just therapeutically journaling, which I'd been doing for, at that time, 30 months or so, because I was on my own journey to figure out what was wrong, missing, not quite right with my own life. And this particular day, I was 50 years old and 6 days when this happened, and this whole story came out of my journal. Exactly, pretty much as you read it, with the exception of a few things, like I said. And no one was more surprised than me.
Hmm. Wow. Well, it's just, it's beautiful. I mean, I want to purchase it and send it to all of my friends that are grieving. So many people are grieving. And there's been, I mean, the one thing that we know is constant in life is death. You know, we're all going to die. It's a matter of how and when. But learning how to really live by facing the inevitable with death really helps us rise up and really embrace our life to the fullest. And this book is just, it's so beautiful. Man, the words are phenomenal. So let's talk more about your channeling process. I'm very curious with this because I really strongly believe in that.
Well, yeah, like I do too, especially now that it's happened. But I remember saying to someone, well, I wish I could do that. I can't, I don't have any of those gifts or skills or abilities. And she said to me, of course you can. And so I read a book by Sanaya Roman called Opening the Channel and never thought about it again, really. Like, you know, I thought about it, but it wasn't present in my mind, but just something that I had read and I thought that would be cool. And it wasn't until months after this book was done that I realized how quickly, after reading that book and going through that process, that this book came to be.
Mm.
So it's definitely connected, but it was months later that I realized that the channeling happened. And this is how I journal, because I didn't find myself to be particularly creative, but which I realize now was that it was just that I wasn't particularly connected to my inner self.
Mm.
So it was my disconnection from me to me that was blocking these things that were waiting for me to share with myself and the world and all of it.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's the channeling process to me was like, and you already said the words, getting quiet long enough to hear what you have to say to
right.
yourself.
Right.
Or you hear what your higher self or whatever you want to call it, your spirit, your guide, you have to be quiet long enough to hear what they want to tell you. And they've
right.
always been telling you.
Right. Yeah, you have to get quiet to hear God. You really do. Wow, just really cool. Now, I would think that this would be a really cool book for young children if they were to face something, because it's so pretty and it's so beautifully, you know, illustrated and the way it rhymes. It seems like it would be a really powerful book for young people as well.
I think it is. And you know, the power in both of the books, and again, these are things I decided. This is how it happened, and I went with it. But they're both written from the perspective of the pet or the human who are no longer physically here with us.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not my words. And there's a few really cool experiences that happened. A young mom who lost her 9-year-old son to a brain tumor, and she had 27 days from when she found out until he died.
Oh.
And she said to me, I met her at a hospice greeting program where I did a book reading, and she said, when she found out that I didn't write the book, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't the one who thought, okay, these are the words that I'm going to say to someone. she said immediately she knew that it was her son talking to her. Hmm. And that was an enlightening for me because I thought, yeah, that's what it is. Like, remember when you were younger, not everybody knows this, but you used to see those pictures where no matter where in the room you went, the picture was looking at you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were printed on felt or something.
Right.
Well, it's, yeah, what I'm finding out, Jane, is that people are, you know, it doesn't matter who they lost or how old they were or what, how old they are in this moment now, they actually really feel like these words came from that person.
Mm. Yeah.
You know. Eyes, the words are coming from the loved one because I think they are. Yeah. I really think they are.
Right. Yeah, I've had quite a bit of loss. I mean, we were discussing that earlier, that no matter how old you are, when you lose your parents, you know, you are an orphan. You know, all of a sudden, you know, that those special, strong people that have raised you, that have known you the longest, one grew you inside of them, they're not here. And it is a weird shift. And so for me, it's like I have to continue to communicate with my mom and my dad for myself to just listen to those lessons that come from them. And, you know, and I feel like I get these lightning bolts of inspiration from both of them all the time. But I'm always open to receiving and I'm constantly talking to them. I mean, my husband... I mean, people are always like, doesn't your husband think you're nuts? And I'm like, oh, no. My husband knows I'm either talking to my hummingbirds, my dead mother, my dead father, or my puppy. And I said, it's all good. Like, he's always like, who are you talking to now? And I'm like, oh, just myself. Just ignore me. I'm just having a little conversation. Or it'll be the other, you know, somebody in my family. Or my sister. I lost my oldest sister as well. And sometimes you just need to sit and have a chat with those people. And in my estimation, I feel they're always with us, that they've just transferred their energy to a different side, to the next room. But they're there and they're available for guidance. They're available for conversation. And I think we just need to open up to receive it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I completely. And, you know, I realized as you were talking, I didn't answer your question completely. You asked if it's helpful for a child. It is. And we are always a child ourselves. And so it's the inner.
Mm.
When the book was written, two things I wanted to share with you is that, first of all, I have two daughters that are in their early 20s now. So they're in late teens, almost 20s when the book came out. We've never experienced any significant loss, the four of us. No tragedies, no people taken too young, like in our circle, which is so rare in this world, number one. So when these words came to me, I was pretty scared because I'm like, is this a premonition of something that to prepare me for a loss that's going to come?
Mm.
So that was the one thing. But then the second thing was because I and we as a family hadn't gone through anything like this. Like it was like a why me thing. So I said one day at the beginning of one of my meditations, like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, who is this for? And I swear to you, instantly the words came out, which is in the first page when you open it, and it says, they just said it to me. It's like, this book is for everyone, big or small, for the child who lives within us all. These words were sent to comfort you. Take time to read them. You'll know what to do. I would say, I'm like, okay, then that's what I'll put.
I love it.
You don't even have to make it up. It just came.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'll do that for you.
That's awesome. Do you have I Will Always Love You at your fingertips right now?
I do.
Would you read it for us?
I would love to. And I have to tell you, I don't know if I could get through without crying. I cry all the time. Because
no, it's okay. Because then we'll cry together. This is, Melissa, this is a show about death, dying, grief, the afterlife, what's next, palliative care, hospice. I am open to talking about it all. And the fact that you wrote this beautiful book and it made me cry, I just feel like the time is now for us to hear you read this.
Okay, I'm... My pleasure. And I just will start by saying that about 18 months after I wrote it, I found out what it meant to me. And So for anybody who's listening who might have a similar experience as you hear these words, this book was actually a message from part of me to another part of me, giving me permission to move on from this life that I've been living until this point that the book came, and step into the life that I was meant to live. Sort of grieve the life that I've lived that wasn't really my authentic self. Step into, so I had to grieve the loss of this human I'd lived with for 50 years and step into this new person.
Wow. So wow, this is like, this is, talk about transformative.
I
love it.
It really was, but it took me that long. Okay. So here we go. I will always love you. If you're reading this now and I'm far away, please pay attention. I've got something to say. It was my time to go, and I can't explain why, but there was a reason. It was my turn to fly. Now I can see you from my new place of rest. You must understand you are still truly blessed. Realize that by letting me go, you'll give us both freedom more than you know. Believe in angels and spirits or not, but consider this, I hear all of your thoughts. Your life lies ahead and it's all very great. I'm privileged now to see all of your fate. I have one last wish and it's part of a theme. If you're choosing to choose to follow your dream. My gift to you include memories and love, and now you'll have more with my guidance above. I'll send you hints so you'll know I'm around. Pay closer attention to each sight and each sound. You might see butterflies or other clues that I'll leave. It could be a rainbow, you'll just have to believe. Focus on love and trust in good things. Listen to your intuition and see what life brings. Open your mind and changes you need. Embrace new directions. See where they lead. Welcome your challenges as they appear. Accept them as lessons. There's nothing to fear. They come with messages and purposes too. It's all part of your learning. They're gifts for you. See them with gratitude and understand their role, and then get back to focusing the thoughts you control. Trust your heart as you follow your dreams. It has been directed by the highest of teams. You hold the power and the answers inside. Turn into your heart. Let it be your guide. You create your world with each thought that you think. Your beliefs build your future as fast as you blink. The mind is a garden that grows flowers and weeds. One who chooses good thoughts always succeeds. Trust me, I know advice is easy to give, but divine wisdom shows this is how you should live. Be the one who shares the light that was mine. Honor me now by letting yours shine. Trust that I'm free and home at last. Cherish each moment. Life goes by so fast. And remember, I will always love you.
I have goosebumps. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. I don't think I could have gotten through it because, like I said, the first time I read it, it's beautiful. It is so beautiful and so necessary to hear those words. You know, it's like this encouragement from the next room and a vibe and a feeling that they are always with us and they are always guiding us, and that for us to thrive, to truly thrive, we should really honor them by truly living as richly and deeply and compassionately as possible. Follow our dreams, right?
Yeah, and I love the idea of the next room. I do, and I also love that you say, like, honor them, and the book says it too, because I had a hard time in the beginning. Like, how am I going to talk about grief and loss? First of all, I'm not experienced in that, and I haven't, you know, who am I to talk about? And all of a sudden I realized, well, I'm here to talk about hope and love and to give people, help people see that we have the ability and it's up to us to live for them, show them, you know?
Right. Absolutely. And you know what? We can all discuss this because really by embracing loss and what we've gone through, it just opens up our eyes to what is now. You know, every morning when I wake up, it's not that I'm surprised, but I'm always grateful. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Here I am. New day on this side. That's cool. I feel good. I'm glad I'm here. I still have a lot of love to give and a lot of life experience and things to learn, and certainly don't want to check out prematurely, but I'm always kind of like so grateful when I do wake up and realize I'm here. And then I think, thank you. Okay, cool. Here we go. Another day to give thanks and be amazed at the beauty that surrounds us. And it's been a difficult time. Like you know, talk to me a little about, you said, if you don't mind sharing it, if it's too personal, I get it, but you said you had to grieve the woman that you were. Are you willing to share with us what you mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what happened was I sold the business in 2014, you know, and looking back, I had everything that I'd ever wanted to achieve in my life. I'd achieved like a very nice family, happy, enough money to live, do what we wanted. My business had grown. Like, you know, I did all those things here that ticked off all the boxes. And this wasn't the first time that this had happened, but my husband finally said to me, he looked at me, and he said, are you ever going to be happy?
Wow.
Yeah. And I looked at him, and I was like, I don't know, because I still felt so empty. And I had everything that I had wanted and achieved everything that I'd wanted to achieve, and I still felt just so worthless.
Hmm.
And it's hard to describe because on the outside, no one would ever believe that. But on the inside, I was tormented by myself.
Interesting.
You know? Yeah, so I embarked on this time then to figure out who I was, because I thought, if I don't know who I am and what I want or need to be happy, then no one really knows. I've created this false human in a very successful way that I couldn't resonate with. Or two, or whatever that, however you say that. And so, you know, I saw it take 3 months, and you know how that goes, right? To surrender. And the harder you try, the farther you are from getting the truth, right? So I tried to do like an MBA kind of approach to it, set goals. I'm going to meditate, you know, I'm going to do all these things. And then I realized that, so how does it say, squeezing a handful of water, right? The more you squeeze, the less.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was that, so at the 30 months, point that this book came to be, and then it was like, you know, 18 months later that I realized, oh, it was the answer I was looking for.
Wow.
Step into what you were meant to do, not what you thought you were meant to do, but what you were sent here to do. Which is actually, Jane, you just described what I was sent here to do, and I think for most of us is to wake up every morning, take that breath and go, wow, that was fun, thanks, glad I can still do that today.
Right.
Life will only get better, right? And that's all, the rest of it's all just, I don't know what the rest of it's for.
I was just writing a note because I love that. You said step into what you are meant to do, not what you think you should do. Did I get that right?
You did. And you know, there was a time prior to that that I can tell you, I pretty much lost all hope and, you know, things had gone wrong in my business, and I thought I was going to lose everything. And my kids at that time, let's say they were 7 and 9, and I was literally like on a landing looking up at them, and they were looking down at me, and I was like, I think I was short of being hospitalized or just lost hope in everything.
Wow.
A woman said to me, what do you, like I couldn't respond to my husband or anything, and she said, what do you think your children see right now when they look at you? Is this who you want them to like see? And right then and there, I realized that you have to wake up every day with purpose. And my purpose at that point, because then your purpose will change, right? And that point, my purpose was to live and honor myself enough so that they learn to live and honor themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Themselves. Like, do you know what I mean? And they were young enough. And so I think that this, what you just wrote down, stepping into what we were meant to do, not what we're supposed to do, now that they're young women in their 20s, I believe that I'm honoring that and showing them that they need to honor themselves too. Don't live to make me happy or anyone else happy. like, you know what I mean. Like,
yes, I do.
I was like, when you're taking care of yourself properly, you automatically take care of everyone else.
Oh, yeah, that's it. This is good. This is really good. I mean, I've been taking notes, so if I'm a little quiet here and there, it's like, wait a minute, she just something so profound. I love it. And I do have to say, hats off to your husband for asking you that very difficult question. When are you ever going to be happy? And for that friend that said, you know, look at what you're showing your children. I mean, that's two people that held up a very big mirror right in front of you, Melissa.
You're right. And we get, that's why we need friends and coaches and families and those people in our lives that help us see what we can't see because we're too caught in the middle of ourselves. And,
yeah.
And there's so much to live for. Because one of the things that I found through this process, too, of having these books about grief or dealing with grief, was that people say, like, take as long as you want. Don't let anybody rush you. You just grieve, and you take as long as you want. And I wanted to shout out and scream the answer that no one wanted to hear, the comment. It's like, no, don't do that. Like, do that, but recognize what you're giving up. Because life, like, take as long as you need, but be aware that life is still going on while
right.
you're doing it.
Yeah.
So maybe grieve a little bit every day and carry it with you through the day, but keep living.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, by living, we definitely honor the memory of that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when anybody, you know, tells me, oh, it's my mom's, you know, heavenly birthday, fifth heavenly birthday, I'm like, sing to her, bake a cake, light a candle, have a good visit, you know, she will appreciate it. You know, I just really, really love to do that. And I have this friend, I had lost a really, really, really close girlfriend. She was only 57, complications from lupus, and she passed while I was holding her hand, and it was just unbelievably sad, and it was just at the beginning of this year. But her name was Debbie, but her nickname was Budgie. So Budgie would tell me that every morning on her morning walk, she was just this little spitfire Italian, beautiful, powerful little woman. And she, every morning on her walk, she would wave to her mom, Reno, and my mom, Mama Ash is what she would call my mom. And so she would wave up at the sky and she would tell me like, oh, I took my walk and I waved to Mama Ash and in Reno this morning. She did it every morning. So ever since Budgie's been gone, when I take my puppy for a walk, I'm waving up at the sky and I always go, hi, Budgie. And I can just feel her energy and I feel like she's waving back. So 2 days ago, I leave with the puppy, and it was overcast in San Diego, which is always a blessing in the morning this time of year, because you can get a good walk in before it starts burning off to get too hot. And I went to wave, and I look up, and there's this huge egret, or heron, just this big, beautiful, graceful bird, way, way, way up high. And it was just circling and flying and floating. And I stood there looking at this gorgeous bird right after I had said hi to Budgie. And I would not have been looking up in the sky had I not turned my head to the heavens to wave to her. And I'm sitting there with this grin on my face. And I'm like, that's it. You know, it's those moments. It's like, I know that Budge was like, you know, hello, I'm flying. You know, it's just... Oh, it was so beautiful.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that that's true. Mm. It just isn't.
Yeah, me either. Well, I am just, I knew this would go fast, and we're nearing the end of the interview. Let me just do a little bit of promo because I want people to know how to find you. Melissa is a life coach, so... If you're like me and you're sitting here going, oh my gosh, I need a session with this woman because of the profound, beautiful ideas and thoughts that came out of her during this half hour, you can find her at melissa-lyons.com. And she has these beautiful international best-selling books available. I Will Always Love You. And also, Until We Meet Again. Just go on her website and just kind of play around, and you can see her beautiful face there. So, Melissa, in closing, any final thoughts or anything that you wanted to talk about that I didn't quite cover?
Well, we covered so much. Thank you. It's been enlightening for me, too. So thanks. Until we meet again, let's talk about that really quickly.
Sure.
It came to be in a really cool and unexpected way, which we can talk about another time. But it deals with the losing the loss of a pet. And what I found when we start, I would be on different shows and being interviewed, and we started talking about the loss of humans, and then we start talking about the interviewer's pet that died in the 20s or, you know, in his teens and they didn't really grieve it properly. And we realize that so many people lose their pets, which are just like their children to a lot, or many, if not all of us. They're family members. And we don't do a good job of doing that because we don't have funerals the same way, right?
Right. We should.
We should, and we don't. So until then, until we meet again, it really helps people learn to love again. And you know it's hard to reintroduce love again after you've loved so deeply with an animal, right? And this book really, I think, can help people find a way to love again and bring another pet into their home.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that's, I was telling you about, it took us 5 years after Honey passed to bring Mamba into our home. And when this book arrived, the whole time, all I did was think about Honey. Well, Melissa, this has been absolutely my pleasure. Melissa Lyons is my guest. Go on melissa-lyons.com. I would highly recommend purchasing either one of these books or both of them. I Will Always Love You is a perfect gift for anyone that is suffering through the loss of a loved one, four legs or two. Really beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on The Next Room with me.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jane.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.